Carpenter, that is Busy Woman right here on 2FM. I'm not going to make the terrible joke, but I probably will. The busiest woman on the planet. Here she is, Jennifer Rock. We are here to talk all things acne today. Yes. Because there could be just, you know, people sitting there right now being like, oh my God, they haven't gone away yet. You know, I'm like in my 20s, I'm in my 30s. I thought this was just a teenage phase that I would get away with. You are a fountain of wealth, of knowledge when it comes to all things skin. But when it comes to acne, Jennifer, you were just up there at one of the best people in the whole entire world to talk to. Why are we talking acne today?
Yeah, thank you. Well, that's such a lovely introduction. My goodness. I'll steal that from my bio. But no, in all seriousness, we have the luxury of talking about such beautiful things and fun things and TikTok and aesthetic. But I think when it comes to acne, first and foremost, this is Acne Awareness Month. So like with anything when it's an Awareness Month, it's not that it's unfortunately just restricted to these 30 odd days that you may experience it. It's all year round. But that educational piece is so important. And maybe if you're listening and it's not relevant to you, but it could be to a friend, a partner, a sibling, a colleague, and just to have, I suppose, a slight more insight to what they might be enduring and living with, it is really important. Why? I suppose statistically, if you look at it, 80% of people in our lifetime, 80% of people in their lifetime will experience a form of acne. Mm-hmm. So it's not something that's specific, unfortunately, to your teenage years. It can be onset, you know, later on in life. So it's not a very specific disorder, if you will. So if you look at what the HSE clarify as acne, there's what's called mid, moderate, and severe. So mid, just to get the technology or the terminology completely correct, it's whiteheads, blackheads, a few papules, and a few pustules. So what does that mean? Blackheads, you usually see like a little kind of black dot. Papule has a little kind of redness and like a swelling and a soreness to it. And then a pustule means, as the word sort of suggests, it has a bit of pus, so it has that white head on it. And moderate means that you have more of the above. And then severe means that it really is sore, tender, swelling, moving into what we call cysts and nodules. Essentially something that you might casually say to a friend, or God, it's so big, or it feels like it has a passport or a heartbeat, or it's large, and it's a visible large structure underneath the skin. But ultimately, the key part there is that it's sore. It's not to say that, you know, moderate and mild, you can still have quite a sore individual spot. My main piece before we break into, you know, what can you do, is if you feel that it's something you can't get under control after quite a short space of time, so I'm talking trying something over the counter for a couple of weeks and you're not getting results, you do need to treat it like the medical reality that it is, because it can be so disfiguring. Studies show there's a huge link between people that have acne and potentially the emotional toll it plays can lead into depression, society anxiety that you don't want to go out and about because you feel at times your face is disfigured. And and I'm talking about the face. It can happen on other parts of the body, of course, but that's the statistics between that and depression and low mood, it's just unfortunately increasingly higher. So it's something we have to take really seriously and treat with massive respect.
But it's like with everything with our skin, you know, we forget that it's the biggest organ on our body, and we just tend to be like, oh, it's fine, because it feels very, you know, just skin, it doesn't feel skin deep, it's very surfacey, but it can impact you like no other. That's obviously the difference between acne and like breaking out in a few spots. You know, you can get a few spots here and there, but it mightn't be debilitating for your life, and acne is just one of those things. How does it happen, Jennifer?
So ultimately what we're talking about here is when you have bacteria and oil and inflammation merging together. So the reality is we're supposed to have bacteria on the surface of our skin. It's part of our normal, I suppose, natural protection against the elements. But what starts to happen is there's a slight imbalance, and then the wrong bacteria that's actually designed to be in the surface of the skin starts to migrate into the lower layer of the skin. And like anything, if something goes in somewhere that it's not supposed to, it's seen as a foreign body, and as a result there's inflammation. So what you start to notice or manifest, or what you can see, I suppose, is typically it's blackheads first and foremost. And I'd have a lot of parents particularly contact me saying, you know, my child's 10, 11, 12, they're starting to get blackheads. Is this normal? And the reality is, as you come towards that puberty stage, it is. And then you think about all the hormonal fluctuations we have in our life, regardless of what gender we identify as, it definitely tends to kind of coincide with that. But what you're ultimately trying to do is establish how severe it is, and then what should you be addressing. So sometimes people are quite quick to just overwash or overexfoliate, and I understand that. I myself in the past have suffered with acne, so I have a huge amount of, I suppose, empathy for anyone that is or has gone through it. The interesting fact from our side on the Skin Nerd is that if you've ever had acne in the past, you then tend to almost treat yourself like an acne sufferer for forevermore. So if I cast my mind back to my early 20s when I would have had my own episode, what I start to notice is that it took me years to take away and take the crutches away that became my safety, which were my salicylic acid cleansers, my retinoids in terms of serums, because I saw those as the ingredients that helped my skin. So the good news is that there is lots of ingredients and products and treatments over the counter and in derm prescriptions and doctors' clinics and medications. So there is hope. And something you said there, Laura, that really resonated with me is, I'm going to try my best to explain this as coherently as I can. Sometimes I fear that people, because it's your skin, don't see it as important. Yeah. Whereas if you could see those little pustules and back, it's bacteria. You'd often think, oh goodness, I've got a bacterial infection. Example, I've got a sore throat. Yeah. I can see whiteness in there. I must go to a doctor. I must consider antibiotics. We don't take that same seriousness because mm-hmm. it's on the outside. And it's not just whilst you have the acne. It's a debilitating reality that you can be left with different types of scars, yeah. whether it's something as mild, we would call it, which is called post-inflammatory erythema. Bit of a mouthful for Monday morning, right? Not going to ask for a quiz at the end. But it's PIE, so basically redness after having had a spot. Like, how many times in your life have you had a spot? The spot goes, and then you're left with that red mark that it just, it's like a constant reminder of how you didn't feel like you had your skin under control yeah. at a period of time. And it can really bog you down. So realistically, back to your question, it's bacteria and oil, inflammation, and being aware but not putting so much pressure on yourself. Because if you Google it, which I did this morning just to see what others might yeah. read, there's a lot of articles out there that blame you, the person, for being stressed. But yeah. you can't just change that overnight, or your diet isn't amazing, but not endorsing not having a great diet. But so many of us and our diets aren't. So it's just making sure that you're not feeding into this cycle where you believe it's your fault. It's an underlying medical condition that needs and deserves attention.
And this is the thing, okay? So it's an underlying medical condition. I'm going to take myself out of it very briefly. I had always suffered with spots my whole life. But, you know, hormonal came around the time of my period, was very bad in my teens, but you just gone on with it. And then when I hit 28, I got the biggest dose of adult acne ever, where it was all up the side of my cheeks, down my neck, my back, the works. And it took me 7 years to go to the doctor to get that looked at, because I just assumed it was something I could get under control myself by overwashing, you know, because it needed to be clean and I needed to do this. And I, you know, I didn't give it the time and the effort that it needed. But let's bring this back right now, okay? If somebody has started to get acne or a couple of spots, because sometimes you don't realize that it's actually turning into acne, you think it's a couple of spots. Where do we start? What are we supposed to be doing?
Okay, great question. So first and foremost, I'd say, you know, trying to, as you did, maybe notice a pattern. So maybe over the space of 90 days, so 3 months, noticing, example, is it my time of the month, or is it when I'm stressed, is when I have a busy meeting or a particularly busy schedule, or example, right now, how many times do we unfortunately associate the poor leaving cert and the junior cert students yeah. with breakouts? So that stress piece is definitely related. So being aware of the trigger is important if you can. From an over-the-counter, meaning that you can walk into a pharmacy or purchase something online, OTC, means that there's a certain level of ingredients that you can try. So maybe in your experience, and I say this ingredient so much, so I do love it, it's salicylic acid. Mm-hmm. So it's essentially what we call a beta hydroxy acid. Not trying to throw all the words out there, but again, acne is medical, skincare is a science, so trying to understand it is important. But it's essentially an ingredient that you can get in a cleanser, a toner, a serum. It's really in everything, masks yeah. now. And it really helps with that oil balance, like we spoke about. It helps that inflammation and it helps with the bacteria. So you're kind of tackling three of the four main pieces yeah. that are kind of causing those spots. But when you deal with skincare topically only, you're only dealing with what's on the surface. So again, this is why the pattern finding is so key. So trying to figure out what's causing it systemically whilst you also look after it on the outside. So salicylic acid is definitely one to consider. You might hear benzoyl peroxide. It's a little bit harder to get, slightly mm-hmm. more potent. So there are options to consider online. I'll always advocate for retinoids. And usually I talk about retinoids, which, just as a reminder, a friend that's never heard of it before, it's like a vitamin A family tree. Yeah. And there's lots of different forms. When it comes to problematic skin or, you know, congestion, breakouts, what retinoids do, particularly retinol, is it helps to balance out the oil that you're producing, which is a key kind of, if you imagine, it's almost like the instigator of what yeah. you end up, you know, seeing on the top of the skin. So calming that down is really important. And it also helps with that scarring that we spoke about. And it helps your skin to naturally exfoliate itself. If you see, like, if I think back to my days when I had that problematic skin, my skin was almost grey. Some would call it sallow. And I don't mean a beauty tan skin, but kind of yeah. sluggish looking. Basically, retinoids help to naturally exfoliate the skin. Things like niacinamide, azelaic acid, they all sound quite harsh, but they're about calming the skin. I suppose my first line of call, or my first ask for people, is go and speak to someone that is qualified, whether it's as close as your pharmacy, whether it's online. If after that 90-day period you're not getting it under bay, or you're you know, or managing it, really then you are best to consider going to a doctor. Or if in the meantime you're getting spots that are causing scars, mm-hmm. and there's lots of different scars, the PIE that I spoke of, or ice pick scars, which almost have like an indent. If you yeah. think about an ice pick, it's almost like literally you can almost imagine what if you were in the snow and you're, you know, hacking away at a little kind of, it's like a little ice hammer, if you will. Yeah. And so they're kind of indented, almost like a cone, or rolling scars, box. It doesn't matter what they're called, I suppose, but noticing that your skin doesn't heal back to the way it once was. That's really important to then at that stage to get your advice, ideally from your pharmacy, GP, and then potentially a referral from the dermatologist. And I suppose the unfortunate part with acne is that there's a lot of conversation, a lot of misinformation. I mean, there's the joy and the not so joy of social media, but there's antibiotics out there, there's hormonal treatments, there's medical grade retinoids, there's isotretinoin, all of which need a medic, a derm, to actually prescribe.
Okay.
But trying not to leave it as long as some people tend to, and I totally get why they do, but if I could encourage you to think about going to the doctor sooner, as you would for any other organ, I would. And it's not that you stop washing your face, you still cleanse, you still hydrate, you still put your SPF on, so you're still doing that in addition to, but getting that medical advice.
Why is it that some people, you know, in their adulthood will actually end up suffering from acne and get adult acne? Like, why does this happen?
I wish there was a clear cut answer for that, but it definitely does tend to come down to, there's a lot to do with genetics. So typically, genetically, if your parents or both your parents, you're on a higher probability of unfortunately experiencing it yourself. And just to say, it's not just the face, because a lot of people say to me, oh, my dad or my mom, but then when they talk to them, they say, oh, actually they didn't have it on their face. So there's no physical representation photographs. It's on the back, right? Yeah. And I know so many people really understand that. But so 50% of acne can be on the back. So you might see it, and I'd hear it an awful lot. My son, when he was younger, would say that, you know, he noticed friends of his wouldn't go to the washing or, sorry, to the shower rooms and have it, so that they're not washing. And that's one thing, actually, can I just sideway for a second? People think that they're dirty. They're not. They're probably the opposite, because they're over cleansing to compensate. It's really generally very little to do with hygiene. And then I see a lot of TikToks and memes online where people are saying, you know, change your pillow slip. And it's not like, that's to be encouraged in life, right? Yeah. Let this not be, you know, an unquote where it's Jen Rock said, don't change your pillow slip. I'm not, but just don't put that pressure on yourself. So back to what you're saying, there's no known reason except it can be stress induced, it can be hormone induced, and it can just be that the bacteria is changing, that there's more oil inflammation there for whatever reason. It can actually be a relatively new form of acne. It's what they call acne cosmetica.
Okay.
So I adore cosmetics, just for the record, love a new foundation, love playing with products, but sometimes makeup is more designed for how long it stays on the skin, first and foremost, and then how it looks. And that doesn't always lend itself well to your skin. So sometimes some people's skin, they'll get a lot of blackheads and breakouts, example, quite commonly around the lip line, because of ingredients in lip balms and lipsticks and lip liners, and then also on the cheek where you tend to put blushers, which have what's called FD and C dyes, basically ingredients that irritate the skin. So it can be as simple as a consult where someone qualified will notice that and say, take that out and then put this in instead. It's just a bit guidance.
That pillowcase changing like aspect there, it just resonates so much, and I know it will with so many other people, because you try absolutely everything. I remember not getting conditioner near my back in case I had a breakout, and changing my sheets so often to make sure that there was like no, and I say quote unquote, no like dirty spot bacteria left on my bed that I could, you know, transfer things over to. And I eventually went to the dermatologist and I could put in Roaccutane, but we're after getting a text in here that says, just listening into the Skin Nerd speaking about acne, my son is on Roaccutane. I've tried 12 different chemists and they're all saying the drug is in shortage. Can you ask, does she know where I might be able to get this prescription? I've paid a fortune taking my son to a dermatologist only to figure out this problem.
Oh, I'm so sorry. And there's so many drugs at the moment that we're talking about in the news, I suppose, that are going through the same. My advice, I suppose, is potentially to go back to the dermatologist clinic.
Yeah.
What I've noticed with medication personally that's been in shortage in my own life in the past, not particularly Roaccutane as such, is it, the doctor then has given me advice as to this pharmacy or that pharmacy, or potentially having to look abroad at times, not that I want sales to go outside of the public, but just to get that drug is so important. And there is a lot of confusion, and so I want to be careful. Roaccutane is beyond my skill set because it's a medicine, but there's a lot of misinformation about that. So I can totally understand why she's so eager when she's waited the waiting list to get to see the derm, now has the drugs and can't get it. So she's trying everything. Maybe there's something the derm can do in the short term, example, antibiotics or something that's a stepping stone towards when the demand is no longer such an issue. But I really do feel for her, and it's hard. It's so hard when it's someone else, because I'm sure when you had it, there's someone in your life that looked at you and just wanted to mind you. So I'm sorry that that is her reality, but I would go back to the clinic and I would become best friends at my pharmacy till I'm on that waiting list, so they understand the importance of it.
You mentioned there as well about, like, you know, the ice pick scars and the rolling scars and all the different names that we have for them. But let's say that we've got everything under control and now we're left with this scarring. What's the next step?
Yeah, so scarring, I think exactly that. So when you've emotionally moved through the active acne or the spots or the breakouts no longer being a reality, and then you feel like there's another phase that maybe isn't spoken about as much. So there's almost a second phase, as we would call it in the skin nerd world, for acne. So back to your question, if you're left with scarring, is identifying what type of scarring it is first and foremost, back to that consultation, mm-hmm. really needing to know. Mainly because, I really mean this, Laura, I see it so many times, and there's been thousands of clients over the years that I feel have spent so much time, let's be honest, money, yep. energy, effort, and their self-esteem in the middle of it all is just on the decline. And then they're feeling so helpless that you then want to make sure that they're aware there's another part coming, but you don't want people to spend so much money. You often don't have to spend as much money as you may think. But ultimately, I would be a big advocate of things like laser. There's different types of laser. Yep. There's one that I definitely find can be needed at time, depending on the severity of the acne. And it's what's called ablative laser, which essentially means it's there is a little bit of downtime involved. But if you think about it, if you've got those indents in the skin, you really need to have a resurfacing form of laser. So lasers, again, in this scenario, I would really encourage you to go to a medical clinic to have them overseen by a nurse or a doctor, because they're probably the ones that we're treating in the beginning. So just seeing it the whole way through. You can get chemical peels done. Again, it depends on the severity of the scar. Chemical peels can be fantastic. Now, these words always sound so
terrifying. All I'm picturing is Samantha Jones in Sex and the City.
Imagine that. Jesus. Sex and the City ruined my career with that one episode, I'm telling you. But no, in all seriousness, there's lots of different choices out there. And then, of course, there's home care. Yep. So when people have been on prescription retinoids, which have been given by their doctor, of course, then making sure that you're trying to maintain that at home with an over-the-counter version. So there's clever ways to get it back to be as affordable as possible. And then it's a maintenance program thereafter. So, and there's lots of new technologies on the market now, like lasers that you can have whilst pregnant, which weren't the case before. Okay. So thankfully, the joy of skincare being science is that it's run by medics, and so there's so many more innovative and, I suppose, less downtime led technologies coming out into
and
the forefront,
constantly evolving, thank God.
Constantly evolving.
New all the time. It doesn't just physically affect people, we've kind of touched on this, but what advice would you give to people whose mental health is affected and they are suffering with it?
There's a relatively new degree or qualification, should I say, of late in skincare. So there's dermatologists that we know that are obviously the doctors of skin and hair. And then there's psychologists, which we obviously know of old. And now there's psychodermatology, which means these people are super duper qualified, right? Yeah. They have the psychologist element and the dermatologist. And there's not any that I know of to date in Ireland, but there's an awful lot in the UK. And just reading their articles, their books, it's mind-blowing, the statistic link, as you just said, between people having that self-esteem piece, not leaving the house, trying to hide with makeup, and this vicious cycle. So what would I say? I'd say it doesn't make it any easier, but you're not alone. But please do, whilst looking after the skin topically and from a medical physical standpoint, do and perhaps potentially seek medical attention, because it is a disease. It is a medical piece. If this was on any other organ and you had that many pustules and bacteria or whatever else, you'd be, you know, really aware of it. So don't ignore the fact that it can be affecting your head. And it's not that we're ever looking for perfect skin or flawless skin. It's really not. And a spot here and there, look, they happen. But if it's something that's debilitating you, affecting you either, as you say, emotionally and mentally, or if it's affecting you physically that you can't treat the scar, then you need attention beyond a parent, a sibling, or my friend says it needs that medical advice.
And they can be bloody sore. Like, it's like the ones on your back and on your face and everything. And, you know, you just don't have to suffer in silence the whole time. I obviously, and I say this to you every single month, I could stay talking to you all day about skin, but just a quick roundup in this. If you are suffering from spots that you think could be turning into acne, try, you know, your salicylic acid and your retinoids for how long?
For a short period of time, so about a 90-day window. And I only say that because there's a lot of people online, a similar qualification to myself, that I feel unfortunately do my industry a disservice and say, we'll keep trying, and 6 months later, we'll keep. And it's like, it comes to a moment where you have to say, no, this isn't aesthetic anymore, this is medical, and you need to get that medical advice. So to your point, salicylic acid, retinoids, keeping the skin hydrated, try not to strip it too much, don't pick the spots as much, as I totally understand you want to go out and socialize, but you are more likely to have scarring and you're potentially spreading the bacteria underneath. And then after about 90-120 days, if you're not getting anywhere, then you need that advice. And then they, whether it's your GP or whomever, maybe that's your first port of call, and they can refer you on, because there's different severities and it'll affect you based on many different things, ethnicities and so on, and budget. So it's just getting that advice that's completely unbiased.
And just one more question, are retinoids and retinol the same thing?
retinoids are a family tree and retinol is a part of that family tree. So retinoids, I say, because there's lots of really gentle forms within it, you don't have to go straight to retinol.
Yeah.
So I don't want to make it too nerdy, but yes, there are lots of different forms. But do you have it as a checklist and then go to someone qualified and say, I know I'm supposed to use this, can you guide me as to what? Because not everybody with acne can use retinol at that time.
Okay, fantastic. Jennifer Rock,
thank
so much
guys.
In there.
I hope it helped.
No, and thank you. And to anybody who is suffering from acne at home, there is light at the end of the tunnel. And I hope that you find the other end of it soon. Jennifer Rock, as always, CEO and founder of Skin Ingredients and Skin Nerd. We'll see you next month.
Yes, ma'am.